Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Garage Talk Live. It is Tuesday, December the 1st. That's right. Thanksgiving in the books. Christmas on the way. The racing season is done for the year. Today's show, we have Burning Rubber radio host Andy DeLay giving us a shout out. We could recap the season a little bit and got some clips to play from the Xfinity banquet and Camping World Truck Series banquet. They have theirs together, and of course, the Sprint Cup Series banquet will be in Las Vegas, I guess, about the end of the week. But right now, I'd like to welcome to the show, the host of Burning Rubber Radio, the one and only Andy DeLay. Andy, welcome back to Garage Talk Live there, bro.
Hey, what's up, Vince? How you doing, buddy?
Not too bad. I'm sitting here in the crappy weather up here in Virginia, and racing season's over, and you know, just trying to commiserate, I guess, with a fellow broadcaster on the end of the racing season and what you thought of the year in general.
Well, number one, man, I loved Garage Talk Live, and man, thank you for having me back on. And number two, man, what a race season we had. There's a bunch of mixed feelings about Kyle Busch taking the championship this year. Of course, most folks out there know, and you know, Vince, that Kyle Busch missed most of the 11 races of the season by breaking his leg at the initial race in the Nationwide Series at Daytona, and then he comes back and takes the championship. What are your feelings on that, Vince?
Well, let's put it this way. It's not like it hasn't been with the new format and all that. The criteria was he had to win a race and finish in the top 30 in points. Now, when you miss 11 races in a season, that's a big chunk of points you're going to lose. The fact that he had to, he won not only one, but three other races during the regular season and climbed to the top 30 in points just shows what kind of a talent he is. And, you know, I think the same thing was put up for Tony Stewart last year when he missed a part of the season. Of course, it wasn't 11 races with his accident and thing like that. But he just couldn't get it done to get in the chase, where Kyle Busch did. So it's not like a precedent wasn't set prior to this past season. It's just that Kyle Busch capitalized on it.
You're very right. And personally, I don't have a problem with what Kyle did with NASCAR. Actually, I think, and I would have told you this before this season, that Kyle Busch is a wheelman, period. He is arguably one of the best drivers that has ever been in NASCAR. I personally think the dynamic duo of Jimmy Johnson and Chad Knaus are the best duo, but when you look at Kyle Busch, this cat had to drive his way through adversity. He had to make the entire chase just like everyone else did. And not only did he have to make the chase, but he was placed behind the ball to make the chase. He is absolutely one of the best drivers that I've ever seen. And I'm sure there's some folks out there listening that are trying to kick their radios right now.
Well, they can call in. The number is 646-649-1899 if they want to take a verbal beating from the two of us. But he is one of the best drivers out there. The thing that hurt, I think, Kyle Busch the most, one, his brother had an attitude, the first Busch to win a championship. And then Kyle came in with an attitude of his own, you know, spoiled little brat type of kid, that type of thing. But, you know, he still had to overcome a lot just to get to that point. And even in chases that he's been in before, he had never won in a Sprint Cup chase season. And, you know, looked like this year, if it wasn't for the fact that Brad Keselowski wasn't leading part of the race towards the end there, he might have finished second and took the championship. But Keselowski faded, Harvick was coming on strong, just couldn't catch him at the end, but that's the way it is. You win, you're the champ, and, you know, it's good to see that in the last race of the season.
And, you know, and shifting gears into the Nationwide Series, the Xfinity Series this year, Chris Buescher winning the championship. Of course, Chris Buescher's a personal friend of mine, and so I'm on top of the world that Chris went out there, won the Xfinity Series title, and most folks don't know he's also an ARCA champion from 2 years ago. So excellent job done by Chris Buescher. He, folks, listen to what I'm going to say because this is going to happen. He is going to be the next Jeff Gordon. I know he's in Ralph Fenway equipment. He's not in Hendrick equipment. But Chris Buescher is the real deal, folks. What do you think, Vince?
I think he's got a shot of it. But then again, you have a good crop of talent coming up, too. Chris has shown that, you know, moving from the ARCA series to the, I think then he went to the truck series, and now he's in the nation. He's the Nationwide Series champ. And, you know, it takes a lot to be a champ in any series. But going up the progression of where the Nationwide Series has a lot of Cup Series drivers come down taking all the points in that, it means you have to work a little harder to get there. And the fact that he was able to do that has a, you know, a stamp of talent. Like you said, and he's driving for Roush Fenway, which hasn't been the best team of the year. Given Hendrick and has been on top for the quite longest time, and you know, Stuart Haas a couple of times this season, but, you know, watch out for the Gibbs guys. And now that I think and Truex, the Furniture Row going to Toyota and having Joe Gibbs' input, I think the fan favorite would have been for Truex to win the championship, but I think next year might be his year.
You know what? That's the truth. And talking about a black horse coming along and shaking it up at the end, you know, Martin Truex Jr., excellent guy, excellent driver. Vince, you're right. I look forward. And the stuff that they're driving is basically RCR equipment, which is great stuff. So they got the equipment to run up front. He's got the talent to run up front. I look for a lot from him. But, you know, also our third series that we could look at here, the Camping World Truck Series, Eric Jones, another friend of mine, wins the championship in the Camping World Truck Series. I'm sure you've also talked to Eric, too, haven't you, Vince?
Actually, no. I haven't talked either Chris or Eric, so you'll have to forward me their contact info. Or maybe next time I have you on, guest hosting the show, you can bring them on with you.
Yeah, you know what? That'd be a great idea. By the way, man, don't let me forget, I want to have you guest host the new Burning Rubber Radio with me too, Vince. That's always a good time. So, you know, that's going to be really fun. Ryan Ellis, matter of fact, he's going to be on the show this week with us. We're going to get to talk to Ryan Ellis about his first Sprint Cup Series start at Phoenix, which ought to be pretty fun.
It should. It should be pretty interesting. I like having the people making their first start in any series coming on up, and that's usually what I do in the off season. Bring somebody that is looking to move on and make an impact on the series they're driving for. I know you've had ARCA shows, and I'm sure you had Sarah Cornett Ching on, who, if she can maintain a ride and get some serious sponsorship, I think she's going to be an up and comer to watch out for.
Totally. Sarah Cornett Ching, she has done a lot with what she's had in the ARCA series. And the folks out there listening, if you're real race fans, you know, it's not only what kind of driver you are, it's the equipment that you're driving. If you're driving something that's a 20 to 50 horsepower down on the competition because you don't have the money to afford it, you're not going to win. Now, some folks can take bad equipment, or let's not say the word bad, but inferior equipment, and drive the living dog crap out of it and run up front. Sarah Cornett Ching is one of those people right there. Hey, Vince, I got a question talking about the money in racing and the equipment. Have you thought, or what do you think about franchising teams in NASCAR?
I think it's, I don't know, I'm not so sure. It basically isn't maybe unofficially a franchise, but it's kind of that way now. I mean, basically you do what NASCAR says. You own your teams, you fund your teams, and you go race. Now, some teams that can get more sponsorship, have better equipment, have more cars under their stable. So I don't really know what having a franchise per se would do. I mean, it's not going to help a single car team. They have the same issues that they're going to have to deal with the multi-car team. So I think it's just another franchise. Basically, to buy a franchise, you're just outlaying more money to NASCAR.
Thinking with franchising, of course, you know, NASCAR, they have their salary caps. The NFL has salary caps, baseball. You could work the same thing in NASCAR, too. I know some folks are for it, some folks are against it. There's a certain amount of money that a team would be able to spend, whether they want to spend it on their driver or their equipment, it's up to them. I personally have just heard about this idea. Apparently it's been floated around for a while, and I like the idea. It'll bring teams like Furniture Row. It'll bring other teams that you see running in the back just because they're in there to make a dollar for starting park, and that's just the way it is. They could run up front with the other guys. That's just something to think about.
It's something to think about. I don't know if it would work. A salary cap, NASCAR really, I think they might overpay unproven drivers a bit more than they should. But then again, you have big name retired athletes in stick and ball sports making way more money than they should on their downswing. So, works both ways. I mean, they basically limit what they can spend on equipment and testing and stuff like that, which really takes a lot of money anyway. Tires and, like, even in the truck series, you're only allowed X amount of tires. And same with the Xfinity series. Cup series, I guess, if you got the money to buy 15 to 20 sets of tires, you can. Which I don't understand why they took away from them, like when somebody wrecks out early, you can't go buy that team's tires
for
a discount because they're trying to unload it like you used to.
Yeah, that used to be the way it was. Well, I tell you, Vince, man, well, thank you for letting me be on the show with you, my friend. I hate to cut things short, but I've got other things I got to do here, but I'll be listening to you in the background.
Well, it's good to have you on. Maybe next time we'll do the whole thing, and we'll see how we'll have a lot more to talk about. So you go take care of what you got to do. Thanks for coming on, and we'll be talking in the future. What's the, before you go, real quick, Burning Rubber Radio, are you on through the off season or usually take a vacay?
We throttle things back here. Of course, we're going to have the last show this week on the Performance Motorsports Network. I'm going to throttle it back, do one show a month, a show in December, a show in January, and, of course, I plan on being at Speed Weeks, hopefully with CBS Radio again, at Speed Weeks and again at the St. Petersburg Grand Prix, so we'll ramp back up about that time.
Well, it must be nice living in Florida.
Yeah, we don't have all that white stuff that makes traction real bad.
Nah, but you got a lot of nasty stuff in late summer, early fall called hurricane season that I'm not too fond of either.
You're right, man. I can do without that.
All right, my friend. Take care and have a good show this week. And tune in to Burning Rubber Radio on Performance Motorsports Network. And thanks again.
All right, Vince. Thank you, sir.
Have a good one. There is Andy DeLay, host of Burning Rubber Radio. It's always good to bounce some ideas off of Andy. Of course, he's talking about the franchising of NASCAR and how that would work out. And what do you think? Give me a holler at 646-649-1899. tell me what you feel. Like I said, to buy a franchise, I mean, basically now if you got the money to race, you pay your entry fee. You need to get NASCAR sanctioning. You have to have your equipment the same. Why pay extra money for a franchise? And, I mean, everybody complains about the rules NASCAR makes now. Maybe we've, if I had more time with Andy, I think we could have got into it a little more and probably could have hashed out details that maybe NASCAR isn't working. But I don't know about the whole thing of franchise. Yes, salary cap. If you're paying a driver according to his talent, what's it matter? I mean, even in the sports where they have a salary cap, teams can only spend so much on players, but the talent level is different. If they're willing to overspend on a star, then they have to save money on the other players. But when you have a team where you carry 20 or so guys that perform on the field, I mean, usually, like, if they have a salary cap, you're going to say, hey, you can't make more than $2 million a year. I don't know what the base salary of a NASCAR Sprint Cup driver is, but they do make a percentage of the race purse as well. So where do you draw the line? Do you spend more on the race purse? If you win, you get three quarters of the purse, or you get $1 million a year and a percentage of the purse. I'm sure some of these guys make, that's hard to say because NASCAR usually doesn't divulge the team usually don't divulge the driver's salary. So if you know, say Jeff Gordon just signed a 5-year deal with Hendrick at $10 million a year, and that'll include 50% of the purse or 25% of the purse. See, it's more of a discussion that you can have. Saying the franchising, because then, you know, does a team owner have to buy a franchise for each series he runs, or is it just a franchise saying NASCAR team and you can run trucks, Xfinity, or Cup? So it's kind of interesting to see where that's going to be. But anyway, nice to see that. You know, Chris Buescher driving for Roush Fenway, maybe that is the sign that their team is going to turn around. He's got some young talent there. Chris Buescher, Darryl Bubba Wallace, who made a big splash in the truck series driving for Kyle Busch, where he won a few races, hasn't had the success in the Xfinity series driving a Ford than he did driving a Toyota. So we'll just have to wait and see. I think the way right now that in the Xfinity series is going to be, you know, teams go in cycles. Like I said, for a while there was Hendrick Motorsports with, basically you could say two dynasties there. He had Jeff Gordon and him winning four, and then along came Jimmy Johnson, and you can't deny five in a row, but everybody was blaming the Chase. See, now with the Chases, the way they have it set up, it's more structured that if you have a bad race or two, you could be out of the competition, where the old way is basically a smaller version of the regular season where you just accumulated points over 10 races. This way makes it seem a little bit more exciting. So, you'll just have to see what it has. A lot of people don't like it. A lot of people I've talked to do like it. It makes for interesting event. We're talking about with it, Andy and I, of course, talking about Kyle Busch winning the championship. whether you like the man or not, everybody says he did earn it. Of course, being originally from New Jersey, I might have been looking for Truex to win his first, and then everybody was wondering if the fix was in, if Gordon would go out on top with his fifth championship in his final race of the season. He did make the final four. And if he had run a little better, who knows? He did wind up finishing sixth. And the defending champ, Kevin Harvick, with a second-place finish, he had about 13 or 14 second-place finishes this past season alone. You know, to see there. But all in all, Kyle Busch winning five races total this season, the last one coming in the last race of the year to take the Sprint Cup. Then it's just the fact that he even got there. I mean, not only did he win one race, because technically for him to make the chase, we were saying, you had to win and finish in the top 30 in points to be eligible for even the top 16. The fact that he finished and was able to do that, and he only did it with about four races to go. I mean, I can go back to see where he went to do that. But figure you're losing 11 races. That's a possible, you know, 43 points per race. That's saying you win every one. That's a lot of points. You figure what? 10 is 430, add another 43 to that. You're looking at 473-point hole that he had to climb out of. That's a pretty big, tall order. Owner's points might have helped him in qualifying. I mean, kept the car in contention, but the fact that he was able to do it, let alone with a rookie crew chief. That's something Andy and I ran out of time on. We were trying to hammer all we can in 10 minutes, but okay, we're back here on Garage Talk Live. And we're trying the new Direct Connect line on the computer. So the phone line, I had a disconnect. And we're going that route, so I can't control the audio here, except to where I'm plugged in. So anyway, we're going from that. Due to the fact that something strange happened with the cell signal, figured we'll do it this way, so make sure I got that into there and out into there. Anyway, let's see on from there. I was going to make this a abbreviated show anyway, so wrapping up the season, but let's hear a little bit from the the champion of the Xfinity series, Chris Buescher.
The coolest thing is just having so many different people come up and say congratulations. And, you know, we've seen what you've done to work for this, and it's awesome to see you here. I mean, stuff like that means that all those years working up to this point were well worth it. I mean, it's been countless hours, many all-nighters to make sure that we could get to the next ARCA race at night. You know, I've done so many different things to try and get to this point, and to finally be here, it's special. It's very humbling. You know, it makes you realize how much work those guys did back in the day to really make this happen. Back when the race car driver was the truck driver, I can't imagine the amount of hours on top of having a real job. I mean, that's it's impressive when you think back. So, you know, this is a very small community, the racing world is, and you know, it's so cool to have everybody come up and say something. You know, Roger Penske and Samantha Bush and, you know, Kyle last night. I mean, it's amazing to have everybody here and you know, take notice of the hard work that went into this night.
Did you win an ARCA championship?
Yes, it was second full year, so 2012. This second full, same basic principle. I ran a handful of ARCA races early. And over two years, I think I ran like 8 races a year, just short tracks until I was old enough. Ran 2011 against Ty. He ended up winning the championship, and we got Rookie of the Year that year. And then 2012, we were able to get the championship.
How was it up there standing on the stage, looking out over the crowd and doing your speech tonight?
Definitely some nerves, a little awkward eating in front of everybody. Feel like you're on display, but wouldn't trade it for anything. I mean, that's well worth the bit of awkwardness, but definitely some nerves when you go up there to talk. I mean, I was I'm not a bad speaker. I actually enjoy it somewhat, but this is the first time where I've actually used a teleprompter to do anything. Usually I just wing it, and it works pretty well. But we had 11 different partners this year, 11 different paint schemes at the racetrack, and to try and remember all that off a whim would have been very tough. So we did it the right way this year. We got all the bullet points down and tried to go off of that. And I think it came out pretty good. I don't remember much. I was a little nervous, so I'll have to go back and watch it.
There is Chris Buescher at the awards banquet, the Xfinity Awards banquet as well. Second place finisher, Chase Elliott, had a few words to say.
Well, hopefully it's not the last time I ever run in one of those races. I hope. I'd love an opportunity to race those races if we have a chance on some of the companion weekends. I enjoy racing more than anything. I think is the reasoning in that. I'd rather be racing on a Saturday than sitting around doing nothing. So that's my reasoning for wanting to do it, and I think it'd be fun.
What was going through your mind during Jeff's final race yesterday?
It's just crazy to how fast the year has gone by. You know, I sat up on the spotter stand and watched that race, and you know, I had chills. You know, that when that race was getting going, and just thinking about, you know, this is all actually coming true. And I kind of said that at the beginning of the year. I didn't really feel like a lot of it has set in. I don't think it has all completely sunk in, but I do think yesterday was a big day, you know, for me, and just kind of made me sit back and think about things. Once our season got done and wrapped up. Just to kind of start thinking about Daytona a little bit and kind of getting transitioned over to HMS is all, it's all kind of coming true, and it's hard to believe, but obviously very excited and was, you know, happy to see Jeff end on a good note. Obviously I was hoping he'd win, but, you know, have a shot to win a championship in your final year. I mean, I think that's very impressive in itself. So I was just happy to be there and be able to witness it.
As well at the event, being it was two series rolled into one, unlike the Cup Series, which has a solo thing, this banquet was last Monday. So we kind of, not yesterday Monday, the week before, kind of wrap up the season one week and go on to the next. NASCAR Sprint Cup Series banquet is out in Las Vegas. Activities start tomorrow night with events all the way through the week and culminating with a championship banquet to where Kyle Busch will be crowned officially, sort of, kind of, as well. in the Camping World Truck Series. Here's your champ, Eric Jones, talking about winning his Camping World Truck Series championship in his rookie season.
Yeah, thank you. It's definitely nice to be here and get to take in the moment and just really enjoy this the banquet. I was looking forward to it.
But the toast with milk, exactly. You know that was coming?
No, actually, I didn't. You know, thinking back, I think I heard of it, but I totally forgot about it. But I wish Kyle would have been there to see it. Creation come to life, I guess you'd say. But you know, I think he had a good excuse to miss it. But that was funny. That's definitely a Kyle thing he would do, especially to me.
I've been asking everybody. Can you talk about your best Christmas present growing up? We got holidays coming up here.
Man, best Christmas present. I'd have to say.
Yeah, we'll pass on the best Christmas present. Here's car owner, co-car owner of Kyle Busch Motorsports, Samantha Busch. Kyle wasn't at the event, but apparently Samantha might have been, so here's Samantha.
It's unbelievable. I mean, with a shattered left foot and a broken right leg, if you would have told me that Kyle would win the championship and it would be the best year ever when it started out so terribly, I would have thought you were crazy. But God puts you through hard things to bring you back better and stronger, and that's what happened with us this year. And it's been a storybook year. I keep joking around. It's like a Lifetime movie, and I couldn't be more proud of Kyle and our friends and family and the team. Everybody stuck by us and supported us, and that's why he won the championship.
When you talk about the waiver, like for us, it's a very philosophical debate. Should somebody be allowed 11 weeks out? But for you, it seems like it's a very emotional thing.
It is very emotional. The waiver is very emotional. First of all, it wasn't just there for Kyle. It's been used for other drivers. It's been used for Tony Stewart and Kurt Busch and I believe Kyle Larson. So it's not like something that was just invented for Kyle and this injury. So that's the first thing that gets me a little emotional. But secondly, I think people just think, oh, he got to take 11 weeks off, and so he's more refreshed than other drivers. Absolutely wrong. He was sitting there trying to learn how to bend his toes, how to move his foot, how to stand up out of bed. It was not a walk in the park for him. It was not a vacation. It was probably the hardest thing he's ever done in his life. And not only did he do it with just such determination and passion, but he came back so much earlier than anybody expected. And I think that's why I get really fired up, because I sat with him. I sat there and handed him his bands and bent his toes and did rehab with him and was there the first time he tried to stand up, and he fell right back down and he was dizzy and lightheaded and he didn't know if he could do it. And he pulled himself together, and 2 minutes later he got up, and then within a week he was taking a few steps. And, you know, people don't see what we went through. They don't know every hour. They don't understand how hard he worked. And I think that's why I get a little bit more emotional about it.
We've heard about his journey. Can you talk about your journey through that day when that happened to where we are now? Because you started off the year in the hospital and you ended up in championship.
Yeah, we started off Daytona, obviously, in the hospital. I was 27 weeks pregnant, and it was by far the scariest day of my life. Kyle and I have a rule that if he gets in a wreck and Tony asks him if he's okay, within a few seconds he has to say something, anything. And so when he didn't say anything, I instantly knew something's seriously wrong. And I ran to infield care, and somebody said he was out of the car, but they wouldn't let me watch TV in there. Nobody would tell me what was going on. The nurse came out, and she said, go to the hospital. So I went instantly to the hospital and waited there for 45 minutes. Nobody would let me see him. I was pregnant, crying, and eventually kind of yelling, like, I need to see him. I need to know. I mean, I obviously was thinking something, I mean, obviously what happened to Kyle was serious, but I was thinking the worst. And I just was thinking, okay, if this is it, I need to talk to him. I need to see him. And so finally, when I saw him and was reassured, you know, first thing he asked is, how is the baby? And then that was also in my mind. I didn't feel him kick most of that day. And they actually snuck me in at the hospital about 3 a.m. and did a scan to hear the heartbeat. And, you know, from there on, we just faced it as an obstacle, and we did it together as a team. We did his rehab. We went to the hospitals. We just did everything. We turned our living room into a hospital for him, and between God and family and friends and everybody around us, his team and Gibbs, we all worked hard, and that's why he's going to be the champion now.
After he came back and won at Sonoma, won 4 out of 5 races, when did you get the sense that this might really happen?
Sonoma was obviously the scariest race. A lot of people don't know. Coach really never goes to Sonoma, and I called him pretty much in tears on Friday and begged him to go, and he had actually just come from the West Coast, so he wasn't sure. So I begged him again on Saturday, and finally Saturday afternoon, he said, all right, fine, we'll go. And we got on the plane. I remember Kyle was running 17th, and I was like, oh, crap. I drug Coach all the way out here to run 17th, and then Kyle won it, and that was the biggest race we were nervous about. It was going to be the most for his left foot, and I'm telling you, after that, he just had this sense in him. I think that really helped him regain his confidence and know that he could do anything. And from there, it was just boom, 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 clicking him off, going to victory lane, you know, getting in the flow with the team. And, I mean, obviously, it's Adam's first year. We had new engineers. And so they just gelled real fast. And it was really the storybook year.
You mentioned his story. He told us Thursday he's having surgery in the offseason.
Yeah.
He says he can't work out with you in the morning. How much pain is he in when he wakes up in the morning right now?
Okay, that's just an excuse. He doesn't work out with me regardless of what time of day it is. No, it just depends on what's going on. You know, if there's a day that particularly we go take Brexton for a walk or, you know, take him to the park and he does a little bit more on it, it does flare up and bother him. And so in this off season, he will get some plates and screws and whatnot removed, and they're hoping that things will go a little bit more back to normal for him. But it's obviously a lot better than it was. It gets better every day. But I think until those pieces are removed, he's still going to have some of that pain.
Samira, can we talk about
head? And there's Samantha Bush commenting on husband Kyle winning the cup and the grueling ordeal going through the season. And she's right. I mentioned to that. I forgot about Kyle Larson and the waiver and all that, but I remembered from Tony Stewart. So this wasn't a first time thing wasn't the Kyle Busch rule or something like that. The Kyle Busch rule was actually years ago when he was under 18 jumping in the truck series, and they put the clamps on that. So you had to be 18. So he had to go run ARCA for a little bit and then run NASCAR the next season. Then he went into the truck series and, his path came up, but anyway, here's a little bit of a last week's teleconference with Kyle Busch after winning the championship.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to today's teleconference. We are joined by our 2015 NASCAR Sprint Cup Series champion, Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 Crispy M&M's Toyota for Joe Gibbs Racing. Only 9 months removed from suffering a broken right leg and left foot in an accident at Daytona, Busch won at Homestead Miami Speedway to capture the 2015 Busch and his brother Kurt joined Terry and Bobby Labonte as the only brothers to earn NASCAR Sprint Cup Series titles. Kyle, I know it's been a whirlwind past 48 hours, winning your first NASCAR Sprint Cup Series championship and flying to New York for a national media tour. How does it feel to deliver both Toyota and M&M's their first driver championship at this level and be able to celebrate it on a national stage?
It's been truly remarkable and such an amazing experience. And you never really dream exactly what it is going to be like. You just always dream of being able to accomplish the feat. And to have that opportunity with Toyota and Joe Gibbs Racing and M&M's and everyone that's been a part of my career throughout the years is really exciting for me and my family, my wife Samantha, my son Brexton. It's truly been a whirlwind 48 hours, but so excited to just be in this position and to have this opportunity.
All right, thank you. And we'll now go to the media for questions for today's guest, Kyle Busch.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. If at any time a question has been answered, you can remove yourself from the queue by pressing 1. If you are using a speakerphone, we ask that while posing your question, you pick up your handset to provide favorable sound quality. Again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad at this time. Please hold while we pull for questions. And our first question comes from, please state your question, sir.
Yeah, Kyle, I was curious if there was anything in the last 48 hours or such that just kind of made this whole thing kind of sink in for you.
There's been a few moments, you know, sometimes when you see the highlight reel run down and you kind of hear the call of the end of the race and what that was like. And, of course, then, you know, to hear some comments made by Joe Gibbs or Adam Stevens and all of that, you know, it sort of definitely sets a bit of a spark in your nose. You kind of get that tingle of a tear almost, you know, and it's definitely been such a cool experience. But, yeah, to hear such a the things being described and said and the feelings and emotions from the other people, you know, it kind of sets it off for you. So it's going to be an interesting banquet week with even more of that kind of going on. So it's going to be fun to tackle that.
And I also want to check, do you have a date for your foot surgery yet? And what type of recovery do you know will you have? Like, do you have to stay off of it for a certain amount of time or anything like that?
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure yet when it's going to be, if it's the week after the banquet or the following week after that. So I think it might be like the 14th or 15th. And when I get the foot surgery done, I haven't heard exactly how long I'm supposed to be off of that, but the doctor made it seem as though once the plates and screws and everything come out that I'll be able to walk on it right away. You know, it'll be to rehab to make sure that all the joints that have been immobilized for the last 9 months, you know, we get them kind of woken back up in a smooth fashion and break it in, let's say. And then the leg, though, you know, I'm going to be down for probably, they said, about 4 weeks with the leg, just having to go through the knee and to cut the knee open again in order to pull the rod out. That's going to be the most traumatic part, and just having that have to heal and go back together and let the muscle get back together, and, of course, the tendon as well, too.
Okay, and will you have both of those on the same day?
I'm trying to get them organized where I get the doctors to do it on the same day, yes. I've yet to have heard that is confirmed, and I'm waiting for them to tell me whether or not what we're doing. So it should be one of those 2 days, though.
Okay, thank you.
There you have Kyle Busch talking about upcoming surgery to remove the hardware that they shoved in his body at the beginning of this, after the wreck at Daytona, to put him all back together. So the screws and plates come out of his foot, the rod come out of his leg, and do all that with and World Championship at that. Plus more rehab coming. So, you know, well, what could you say? I mean, obviously, like Kyle Busch or hate him, he deserved to win the championship, meeting the criteria to be eligible. And that's the way, you know, he was able to win Sonoma and then three more races in close proximity to each other. It's not like, and then he still had to maintain the top 30 and stay there up until the race at Richmond, when all was said and done. If he had any bad finishes to where his points dropped to below that top 30, four wins, he still wouldn't have got in. So anyway, I can shout out and congratulate all the other champions and in the world of motorsports, Grant Enfinger, the ARCA Series champion. He got off to a good start with three straight wins, and then it got interesting after that. In NHRA, the Top Fuel champ, Antron Brown, winning his second in 3 years. In Funny Car, Del Worsham making him one of the few drivers to win a NHRA championship in two different divisions, both Nitro and in the Top Fuel rank and the Funny Car rank. This year, doing it in the Funny Car. Shout out to our friend Erica Ender Stevens, winning her second consecutive NHRA Pro Stock Championship. We'll try to get in touch with her a little bit later on, maybe before the new season starts, and she'll have a lot to talk about. Her little bonding thing with the team on the team owner's ranch, and then her sister's wedding. So Courtney Ender is getting married, and I always said we should try to get her on the show. Maybe it's the off season. I'll send the shout out. See if we can get her on. Have to go through the contacts of I'll check with her PR buddies handle Erica there for me, so we'll have to go from there. So and then in the pro stock motorcycle, it was Andrew Hines taking the title again this year from his teammate Eddie Krawick. So usually it's a battle between the Harleys. There was a few threats with Hector Arana Jr. and Jerry Savoie this year that could have made it interesting. He had a shot to do it, but that wasn't done. If you want to give us a quick call in, the number is 646-649-1899. I'd be happy to entertain questions and if you still want to get a chance to get in. If not, you know, it's going to see what we're going to do. In the off season, we're basically a week in. I'm going to try to maybe do this on a Saturday night. Move the show to a Saturday night and maybe get more of you in. We'll just stay posted to .com. I think I would have posted on there. If not, go to our Facebook page. It seems to be social media is where it's at. And try to get some feedback during the season. We'll be back on it. We're going to go back on a Tuesday. This way I'm not interfering with any racing and I can get full coverage of the weekend's events. So I hope everybody had a nice Thanksgiving. Mine was nice. The weather was actually pretty good. Now it's a little sloppy, but took a couple vacation days from the day job. I have to go back to the regular grind tomorrow. So that being said, hope you all had a good old time. And like I said, follow us on Twitter at Garage Talk Live is the handle, or me at GTL Vince is my handle. And on Facebook, facebook.com/Garage Talk Live. So as the season comes to an end, driver standings of the top 10 in each division: Eric Jones, Tyler Reddick, Matt Crafton, Johnny Sauter, Timothy Peters, Cameron Hayden, Daniel Hemric, John West Townley, Ben Kennedy, and Spencer Gallagher in the Truck Series. In the Xfinity, it was champ Chris Buescher, Chase Elliott, Ty Dillon, Regan Smith, Daniel Suarez, Elliot Sadler, Darryl Wallace Jr., Brian Scott, Brendan Gaughan, and Ryan Reed. And then the final top 10 in the Cup Series, Kyle Busch, Kevin Harvick, Jeff Gordon, Martin Truex Jr., Carl Edwards, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Kurt Busch, Denny Hamlin, and Jimmy Johnson. Who knows what next year is going to bring? Everything kicks off in February at Daytona. So we'll just have to wait and see. So that being said, I'd like to wish everybody a happy racing season. I'm Vince Bonfigli, host of Garage Talk Live. Stay tuned. Just follow us on social media. We'll be back. Whether it's Tuesday or Saturday, I'll let you know. So talk to you all next week. Goodbye.